Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. That company is GEICO. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time.
Now, Podcast One brings you Spike's Car Radio. A downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
All right, welcome to Spike's Car Radio. We're in the Beverly Hills studio. We've left a chair open for you, the listener, and it's going to be a full studio today. We've got Chuck Liddell. Is he a UFC lightweight heavyweight champion, former, and
dude,
Steve
the Iceman.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me introduce the show, Zuckerman. We got Steve-O from Jackass fame. These guys have a new show they want to come in and tell us about. And in the meantime, before they arrive, I'm here with the real Zuckerman. Hello, Zuckerman.
Good morning.
You've been ill, I hear.
Well, you know, this has been the worst flu season in many a decade.
I know, but you've been sick for like 6 months. Are you at all worried that this is the end of your life, that this is the end of Zuckerman?
Well, I would tell you this, and I was thinking
and I don't
this.
Say that lightly, because I've seen you, you know, messed up on all sorts of drugs and not getting better.
All right.
And still cavorting. There's too much cavorting.
Cavorting. Well, I would tell you this. If it was 1919 when they had the famous Spanish influenza, I probably would be dead because they don't have – I would have been one of the 20 million worldwide victims of the great influenza pandemic of 1919. No, I do believe that I am like a cockroach. You know, I might take a hit of Raid in the face, wobbly, be a little wobbly for a little bit, and then shake it off.
Yeah, you're the type of guy who, in the coffin, you'll just suddenly open your eyes and strangle one last person.
And bring him in. No, they said if anybody's ever seen me, I have a giant nose. And I believe that the bigger the nose, the bigger the infection. And my giant, horrendous beak is keeping me sick. And
well, what is this? Because I got sick. I was fine until I was driving out to Thermal Club to do a little racing last weekend with my business partner, John, who just had it. And he was just freely sneezing and coughing in the car.
What a selfish fucking asshole. You should have punched him right in the eye.
I didn't want to.
You should have.
I didn't want to harm that other eye.
It makes me so fucking angry when people do that.
I thought it would be fine. But by the way, my wife also had it at home. And then my personal trainer also
punch
had it. So I don't know who had
punch
it.
Punch everybody.
But I'm spreading the guilt around to everyone that they all caused this. And then I got back, and I've been out for 4 days.
Did you get a flu shot?
No, I don't.
It didn't matter
anymore.
Because the flu.
This the flu, though?
It is the flu.
Well, then there was no fever. There was no vomiting. There was nothing else.
Lucky you. Lucky you. What, you were dying for diarrhea? For diarrhea?
I do get excited about vomiting and diarrhea, yes, because it's a quick way to lose like 10 pounds.
You sound like a teenage girl. That's
I'm
really
just saying,
scary.
You come out the other side of it looking pretty good. Your clothes fit really well. You know, you don't have the salt fingers on your ring. Your wedding ring goes right on. What's wrong with that? Why can't I look on the positive side of the flu? But kidding aside, Zuckerman, and you, not a lot of people know this about you. You have a lot of great medical information because you're dealing with the people who goes wrong. This doesn't seem like this seemed like a bad cold because, you know, I've been reading that people have been dying of this thing in the newspaper, right? But I will tell you, that first night I had it, it felt like Niagara Falls in the back of my nasal passages.
You are a very healthy guy. You're a healthy guy. You recovered quickly. Most people recover quickly. There is a realm of possibilities and outcomes when you get this flu from a minor flu to death. Okay, there's a continuum. You got the minor, I got the medium, other people got death.
But there was no fever. Isn't that the hallmark of the flu?
How do you know you didn't have a fever? Did you walk around with a rectal thermometer up your ass? Did you take it out of your ass, put it in your mouth?
Yeah, I know when I have a fever. Okay, I don't have a fever.
So there may be, you know what, as doctors will say, most people have fleas, you got lice. Most people had the flu, you got a
all
cold.
All I'm saying is I'm still a little worried I may get the flu on top of this.
I hope
you do.
And now at this point, I hope you do. Listening to all this crap.
You're so aggressive.
Yes, I am, because you make me angry. The upshot is that everything makes me angry. But I may have to actually, I have tonsillitis is what's been the lingering thing. And at my advanced years, I may get my tonsils out.
That is insane. You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Why would the tonsils be causing you a problem?
Because they're staying infected. They're staying infected, and so they need to be cut out.
You know, it's the stupid green teas you're drinking.
Oh yeah, green tea so bad for you. Green tea, so everybody knows green tea's bad for you.
But you leave them in all your cars. Every time I'm in one of your cars, they're sitting there,
okay,
tipped
you're,
over.
You're a man
with no
that's
caps.
Using toilet paper for tissues, and that kind of makes me sick. It's something that really grosses me
toilet
out.
Toilet paper is Kleenex. You do know
you
that.
You take it from the bathroom where people are using it to wipe their asses, and now you've bought it out
they
of.
Don't
didn't
wipe
you,
it.
Didn't you
roll
write,
it back up
didn't
into
you,
the thing?
Didn't you write that episode for Seinfeld about the books in the bathroom?
I helped write it, yes.
Okay, so you know, don't take your stuff out of the bathroom.
No, you don't take it into the bathroom. The story was
out.
That George brought a library book into the bathroom
same
and
principle.
Wanted to return it. You can't return it.
The same principle. Somebody was farting and shitting 2 inches away from that toilet paper you've got.
It doesn't bother me. You know, I was watching a little bit of this Ultimate Expedition show that we're going to talk to Steve-O about, coincidentally. And there's, 3 minutes in, Steve-O is drinking water out of a toilet. He walks into a bathroom in Peru, of all places, takes a cup, and drinks the toilet water. What do you say to that? You'd have a point. Not me taking tissue out and blowing my nose.
It's hard out there to make a living is what. That's the moral of the story. If you're doing that to make money, it's hard out there. It's a tough world.
What's going on in the car world, Zuckerman? Where are we at? I told you I got the leaf green tea back. We've got the sway bars front and rear. The car is straight as an arrow. We adjusted, is it the canter? Where we tipped it a little forward and put by about a half a degree, as much as we could, put a little more weight on the front of those tires.
Wow.
I hear these Pirelli CN36s, by the way, are just like this. They're just like ball bearing. They're very light on the front of these cars, coupled with the 71T is already light. Like there's only 1,000 pounds on the front of that car. So
that's the magic.
So it was a little too magic. It was a little too slippery. But now is perfection. You
I can't
drive
wait
the car.
To drive it. Can't wait.
I want you to drive it.
And, you know, we've got the 87 that we shared together. We got that back minus. The only thing that we're missing right now is the radio.
I talked to the radio guys. So I forget the name of the company. Let me look it up. These guys are amazing. If you guys have a Blaupunkt radio that you want to be fixed.
I love that these guys are scared of charging you more than $100. They're really reluctant to bill you.
I would give these guys thousands of dollars.
Yeah, they're very, very honest.
Prangenberg is the guy's name. And here it is. Ingo Prangenberg of VintageBlau.com.
He came all the way from Scandinavia to Long Island to fix radios.
So just to tell you the quality of this person, I cold call him as just a Joe Schmo, right? With my stupid Blaupunkt Reno questions, right? He could not have been nicer from the very start. I had no idea who I was and just went on a very long report about the Blaupunkt Reno and how what a beautiful radio it is and how wonderful it is that you and I have this original example and please take care of it. Never put a tape in it because if that goes wrong, then you ruin it. Just keep it and restore it. He stayed
true
on the phone
believer.
For like a half an hour, Zuckerman, talking about transistors and knobs, and I was blown away.
Would you want him at Thanksgiving?
Absolutely.
Really?
That prank, yeah. Ingo can come. Ingo can come live at my house. He's a wonderful man because he's so passionate about something so stupid. The old Blaupunk radios. But you and I both know when your radio isn't working, you start to lose your mind, and there's nobody around to work on it. And this is what this guy does. So I forwarded you that email. He assessed it. He repaired it. He made a video. He demonstrated it working. And then he said, just give me your email and a PayPal. It was just a couple $100.
How could this guy afford to live?
Because he's doing what he loves to do. He's doing what he loves to do.
He must live in a basement somewhere.
I don't know where
he
lives.
He needs to charge more.
But I will say this. God bless
Ingo
Prangenberg of Vintage Blau. And I strongly encourage you to use him. But Ingo, if you're hearing about this and you're listening to me now, please, my work before everybody else's. Because people will start using this guy and then... Of course, you can't get in.
You've just fucked yourself.
Now, did you get the wheel off the 87 to incent?
I haven't. At this point, I don't think I really care about it. It's like one of these things.
Did you drive the car?
I drove it. It drove fine. I want you to drive it. I think it would be like picking fly shit out of pepper. There's no reason to fix that wheel.
What about like, you know, 4 in the morning when you wake up and you realize I've got a warped wheel?
At 4 in the morning, I'm worrying about all the warped people working for me.
Do you want me to do it? Or do you care? I honestly don't care.
I don't care.
Because for the drives out to Malibu, the stuff we're doing in this car, it's all good. And I can put the stereo in when it gets here.
I think Eric Pitino was just trying to bilk us for a few more dollars. I think he was. I think he told us this wheel fantasy story.
Eric Pitino from Beverly Hills Porsche that did an incredible job on that car. They really did an incredible job.
It was well worth it.
It was, wasn't it? When you drove it, wasn't it like, it's oh my God, it's brand new.
So remarkably different. And the clear windshield, everything about that car is terrific. And you were right. Getting the seat fixed was essential.
Yeah, and now you adjust it and you make it perfect. But doesn't that make you want to just go the last 5 yards?
I don't know.
I'm going to do it.
I don't know about the wheel, and who's got time?
Because I talked to wheel enhancement guy. I talked to him. He's another one. He's like Ingo here. He gave me a nice long speech about warped wheels and what he does, and I got pretty excited about it.
And so if in theory, if you drive on the warped wheel for the next 50 years, the car will be ruined.
No, the wheel's going to be fine. It's knowing.
It's knowing.
See, for me, it's knowing that the wheel, something's wrong with the car that inhibits my enjoyment a little bit, even if I cannot feel it. Mm.
You're a sick man.
I am. And, well, look who's here, ladies and gentlemen. It's Chuck Liddell and Steve-O. Come on in, fellas.
Hey, let's talk about that bucket list of yours for a minute. You know what should be on that bucket list? A trip to one of the greatest spectacles in all of motorsports, the Indy 500. And not just any trip, but the ultimate Indy 500 fan experience. And that's what AMSOIL, maker of some of the best synthetic motor oils on the planet, is giving away this spring. One grand prize winner will win the trip of a lifetime to the Indy 500 to watch some of the fastest cars and best drivers battle it out to have their names etched alongside the greats like Foyt, Andretti, Unser, and Castroneves. But that's not all. You also get, as grand prize winner, pit access, dinner with an Indy 500 legend, VIP track access, suite access to watch the race, $1,000 in cash for expenses, round trip airfare for two to and from Indianapolis, hotel accommodations for two for 5 nights at a hotel near the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, ground transportation to and from the airport, hotel and speedway, and a chance to meet the drivers. Just like they do when making high-performance synthetic motor oils, AMSOIL went the extra mile with this sweepstakes. If that's not enough, 10 first-place winners will receive one free digital download code for Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game. To enter the AMSOIL Ultimate Indy 500 fan experience, text INDY to 41487. That's INDY, I-N-D-Y, to 41487. That's pretty easy, folks. Or just visit AMSOIL.com/INDY.
You're listening to Spike's Car Radio.
All right, well, here they are, Zuckerman. Here are the guys.
Here are the guys.
You know both these gentlemen, right?
I know who they are. They don't know me. Why would they know me? I know them.
Yeah, I guess they don't. But Steve-O, good to see you again. I don't know if you remember, you were on my late night show way back when.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember the bit, but I remember you showed up with a bag of Whippets.
Oh, okay.
A shopping bag of Whippets.
Sure.
And you were lighting up joints in the van with the crew. They were so excited to be with you.
Right.
But do you have any idea what that is? I'm forgetting
I remember
what that
sort of general era. That's a chapter
in
my life.
That's the old Steve-O. We have the new Steve-O here.
Right.
And it's nice to see you looking so healthy. And you guys are here to talk about this YouTube Red Show Ultimate Expedition.
Yeah, but let's face it. We're going to talk about all kinds of
we
shit.
We are. Yeah. Let me get out your plug. It's an adventure competition series that begins airing January 17th on YouTube Red. What the hell is YouTube Red? Is that the pay window?
It's yeah, exactly. It's a paid subscription platform that's similar to Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. And YouTube is getting into that space. But I think that the angle YouTube's taking is more of leveraging – because, I mean, of course, Google is YouTube. And they go after getting their –
So this is just – it's the subscriber base, right?
Right,
so
the
they want to be like
base,
HBO.
Yeah.
They want to be like any of these networks that you pay a little money, you get better content.
What makes it a little bit different is that YouTube, they've got their creators, you know, their YouTube personalities. Mm-hmm. And all of these people have gigantic followings that really just, you know – the kids today just want to watch YouTube. So they're trying to leverage people with YouTube followings to turn their audience into paying subscribers. So you see a lot of the talent that they use on their in their content is established YouTube personalities, and they sprinkle in some people that are mainstream as well. I'm on both sides of the fence because I started doing the YouTube thing
right
in 2013.
But how do you guys get this? Is a very unlikely pairing of guys.
So are you would think, yeah.
You look over at Chuck, you know, that's not a guy I'm going to mess with right now, right?
I mean, Chuck's the nicest guy ever.
He's a sweetheart, but man, he's a crusher. He's a killer. I've
the
seen
Ice
him
Man.
Fight before. The Iceman. That's right. You guys are together in this show with how many other folks? And what, Chuck? What are you guys? What are you trying
nine.
To do?
I think there's nine total.
Well, nine total if you count the host, Yuka.
I watched it, and it's you're trying to climb. I couldn't pronounce the mountain.
Tokelarahu.
Tokelarahu. It's a mountain in Peru, right?
Right. It's easier 22, to call it
22,000 feet.
Yeah, easier to call it Titty Mountain because it looks just like a titty.
And as far as I could tell, at least in the first episode that I saw, the biggest issue you guys have is altitude sickness, right?
But how are
oxygen's a problem at 22,000 feet.
But how is the idea that it's let's see who can make it to the top, and then and every week someone's eliminated?
It's not. There's not a formal elimination process as much. It's more that if anybody proves to not be able to go any further due to health risks, due to just kind of mentally quitting. Like whatever the case may be,
you guys
they'll be eliminated on a need to be eliminated basis.
Yeah,
so.
I mean everybody could win. So I mean, if all eight of us could have made it, or all nine of us could make it,
then everybody,
everyone can make it.
The goal is to get as many
people up
there.
What do you win?
You get a finish. You get a finish. Bragging rights. Well, just all for bragging rights. Yes.
Did you finish?
I didn't
tell you to watch the show. Come on.
It's the first rule of entertainment.
He's
not going to reveal that. He'll tell you after the show what happened.
Okay, I'm stupid.
But here's what I liked about it. It looked beautiful. I mean, I thought all the camera work was really amazing. I love the choices. You know, a show like this can really go wrong pretty quickly if they put Omarosa or somebody in it. I thought everybody they chose, including you two, the guy from Jackass who's been abused every which way, and let's see if he can do this. And then this guy, one of the toughest guys in the world, let's see if they can do it. I thought it was really smart. I thought it was a really smart piece of unscripted television.
Sure.
What was it? What were your challenges? You know, was it in the first few minutes? By the way, when I was telling Zuckerman about it, I saw you drink out of a toilet, which made me happy. We're gonna have some laughs.
You're talking about the guy breaking all the rules. It's this guy.
Yeah, they told you that you weren't allowed to drink. The tap
local
water.
Well, they strongly suggested that I not drink the tap water. I mean, because it's not only like an undeveloped country. I mean, we're talking about essentially a shanty town in Peru.
Yes.
Where, like,
it looks really kind of nice, actually.
As a rule, when I've traveled the world, I drink tap water everywhere I go. Because when I was 13 years old in eighth grade, I went on a trip to Egypt. They said, don't drink the tap water. And I took it seriously. Then I watched a guy dunk his toothbrush in the Nile and brush his teeth in the Nile River.
Yeah, he's been doing that his whole life, though.
Right, I thought
it's really interesting. You know, you were raised in London, right?
Yeah, I was born in England. I grew up in five different
countries.
Listen
to his real name. Stephen Gilchrist Glover. Yeah. What a respectable British gentleman.
He sounds like a colonial administrator. Right. It's terrific.
And when you say that the Egyptian
and he's
dude,
drinking toilet water.
Yeah.
Right.
But you don't ever get sick. You can't say that you go and you drink water and then you never get sick.
Well, like you said, the Egyptian guy has been doing that his whole life.
Right.
And that occurred to me when I was 13. I thought, well, this guy is, you know, his immune system is built up to that. So I deduced that if I were to travel the world and drink tap water everywhere, I would have the strongest immune system. And I did get some Hershey squirts in Africa, but overall, I think that the plan worked pretty well.
If you're listening, don't do what Steve-O does.
And then
this is ridiculous logic that you're using. Well, let's get back to
having done that all over the world. What struck me is that when I got to this shanty town in Peru,
yes.
Juarez, Peru, the locals were like, "Dude, I would never drink tap water."
And really?
Yeah, the locals were really freaked out.
So
by
what
it.
Happened when you drank the toilet?
Well,
you took a coffee cup, you dipped it in the toilet. You and another guy.
I
the
was
show.
Fine.
And you then were fine.
The, and the host of the show, like, was
he got,
out,
he got sick the next day.
He was out of commission.
He was.
For the next day, he didn't show up for training, but he didn't need as much training.
It's really Zuckerman. It's really
he'd done it before, so you need the training. But yeah, he didn't show up.
If you're at all a germaphobe, when you see him do that, you just go, "Oh,
this is terrific. This is terrific."
And this is the new cleaned up Steve-O that's doing that. There's no excuse.
You just have a sign that says, "Don't try this at home. Whatever I'm doing, you don't do."
So, Chuck, was it hard for you? You know, you're a guy, obviously, you're still in shape. Was it difficult for you to get up this mountain?
It's all new. I mean, it's 14,500 feet was our base camp.
Wow.
And that's higher than...
Yeah.
You know, I think I've been
that's higher than any
date.
City in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go to Aspen and I'm in the hotel for 3 days before I adjust.
What is 14,000 feet? Higher than
La Paz, Bolivia. La Paz is like 11,000 to 12,000 feet, and I was sick when I was there.
Right.
So what do you do in that situation?
High camp, I think, was over 16,000 feet.
How do you?
That's Everest style.
Oh, Everest is 30,000 feet.
Right, but Everest at the base camp is what?
Right,
the same is the same.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Why did you do it, first of all? Why did you sign up for this?
You know, for me, I was in the middle of, you know, I just got let go from the UFC, and I've been retired for a while, and I've been kind of rolling around lost for a little while. So
trying to figure out where to
figure out what to do, and, you know, I'd been off training. I hadn't been really working out a lot, and, you know, I needed a goal. I needed something to get me fired up and get me a kick in the ass.
Did this do it?
And yeah, it did. You know, the one thing was, honestly, when I signed up for it, I thought it was going to shoot 3 months later than it did. So I thought, you know what? I can get in shape for this thing. I'm ready. I'm going to go out and do this. And then my manager goes, no, it's starting in 2 weeks.
Oh,
I'm like, what do you mean 2 weeks?
Oh.
I'm like, I went out and got quite a few hikes in and some workouts in and started to get work in.
The only thing you could really do is like go some high altitude place like Mammoth or up in Colorado and start training up there, right? That's the only thing you can do to get
that
in
would have been nice to have time for that. And that's kind of what I was planning on doing when I heard I thought I had 3 months. I was all ready to go out and do a few hikes, high altitude hikes.
But, did you get sick? Did you get
No, actually, you have to watch the show.
You did pretty well. What about you, Steve-O? Was this what would you rate this on the? You know, right before we started taping this morning, when you came in, we were on a little break, and you were showing me a really funny clip of you taped to the side of a truck and having Johnny Knoxville hit baseballs at you for something new you're working on. Where would you rate? Would you rate that as this show? Was that a harder thing or getting baseballs hit at your crotch by Johnny Knoxville?
Going into this. YouTube Red Ultimate Expedition. It was understood that everybody was going to reach a breaking point. Yeah,
right.
I mean, just like you're going to push yourself to an extreme where you just can't take anymore, and that's inevitable. So I'd say that.
And did you get there?
Like the getting baseballs hit at me was scary, and wow, that like and that could have gone all kinds of wrong, but I got away with it, and it was quick. It hurt, but it was quick. In this case, as far as altitude sickness, like my experience was that I felt a little bit lightheaded, and being a sober guy in recovery from drug and alcohol addiction, It was just a little bit off-putting, like alarming, that the lightheaded feeling from the altitude was enjoyable. I was like, I this reminds me of something. I'm kind of lightheaded and a little woozy.
Kind of like Whippets.
Yeah, right. And you know what's a lot like Whippets is when I talk Chuck. It didn't take a lot of talking into, but Chuck here choked me completely unconscious up in the mountains. So not only was I like running short on oxygen.
Yeah, he had to really talk me into that one.
Yeah, he cut off the blood flow to my brain.
You know how to do that to anybody. You can just choke
him
out.
That was Nigel Hudson's
That's not right. That tough. Yeah.
It's not hard.
It's so funny,
it's
too.
It's a parlor trick.
You know, I was just editing that video. And
you're not worried that you might kill somebody, that you might fall and die. You're not a medical doctor,
Chuck. He told me a story about a guy dying. His buddy accidentally killed a guy. Tell him about that one. This is a story he told me immediately before doing it to me.
That's why I was explaining. I'm like, you know, now the thing was this guy was driving down the Malibu on PCH.
Yeah.
And he looks over and there's this big dude pushing these old people. So, you know, no one's getting out to help. He gets out to help. He gets out, goes over.
They're in a broken down car.
And the guy, we're off the side of the road. I don't know what was going on, but the big guy was pushing these old people around. So he got out, pushed the big guy back.
Oh, they're fighting. Okay.
And mellow out, relax, and the guy came at him. So he took his back, put him in a rear naked choke, choked him out, and the kid died.
Oh.
He'd been awake on meth for like a few days.
He'd been on meth, and it had something to do with reaction from being choked out and being on meth.
Caused
a reaction with his brain. So. Yeah,
so I was like, Chuck, I'm not on meth. Like,
I'm okay. I'm all right. Hey, as long as you're not on meth, I'll choke you out. Sorry,
Steve-O, don't you want to shed some of these behaviors now that you're sober, now that you're trying to be more healthy? Aren't you trying to adjust your life and make it reasonable? And
I think that what is important is to find some separation between like the persona of Steve-O and like whoever I am in my personal life. But you know, I take away the drugs and alcohol, I'm still an idiot. I'm still an attention whore.
Well, we talk all the time how long it takes for us to recover from injuries now that we're getting older, right?
How old are you guys?
Well, we're up there. I'm 53 right now.
Yeah, how about that? Looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm 43. Chuck, you still 47?
48.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Chuck can still take everyone in the whole office suite.
He could choke us all out right now. Is one day, and I wonder if I'm giving away too much, but this just blew my mind. We had a tent where all the cast would hang out, eat our meals, and we're all in the tent. There's no cameras rolling, nothing like that. And the various, everybody's in, mostly YouTube and different kind of areas of entertainment. And we're talking about our representation, like whatever agents we have or this and that, and like sort of the business of our careers. And Chuck just chimes in. He says, I've been thinking about getting an agent, but I don't want to cut them in on 10% of my purse if I fight again, because they wouldn't have brought that to the table. And I just, my head exploded. I think Chuck Liddell just said he's maybe going to fight again. Like, what? Because I'm a huge fan of the UFC. And I went over later in the day. I just couldn't take it anymore. I turned on my camera. I went over to Chuck. I said, Chuck, you said something at lunch today about maybe fighting again. He goes, yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Wow,
and then he starts picking fights, calling people out who he's ready to fight.
I went to my first.
Oh, man, it was so great.
I went to my first fight the other day, the Bellator, though, fight. I'm going again, I think, when this show airs this weekend.
You're going to go see the Loudmouth?
I don't know much about
Rampage.
It.
Rampage?
Who's that jail something or other guy?
If you did.
He runs his mouth.
He's a boring fighter. That's
right.
Why he runs his mouth.
Right.
He made a career out of running his mouth.
You seriously thinking about fighting again?
Yeah, it's possible, yeah. We'll see.
What do you think of that Conor McGregor? What do you think about him? Is he losing his mind right now? Has he got it together?
Not only is he not losing his mind, but he is just like procrastinating. He's stalling. He's hiding out. He doesn't want to give up his belts. He's got all this other business ventures going on. And if he gets in the octagon or you know, anything, if he loses his next fight, then that really is going to negatively impact all
like
his other
Ronda
business
Rousey,
ventures.
Yeah.
So he's
but
just,
didn't he make a
he's
ton
just
of
running
dumb?
Around hiding with that those two belts, right?
Yeah,
he doesn't
want to
fight
hold
at all.
Hold on as long as he can and get milk it until
yeah, because
he
he's
has
got
to fight and then he'll fight again.
He's got he's got whiskey, his own brand of whiskey coming out. And
well, he's
like,
importing cars and luxury items
sure.
to Ireland, which I don't know if that if they need that stuff there, but he wants to be the first exotic car importer to
sure.
Ireland.
Sure, and for everything that he's trying to do, it's you know, like when you're the champion doing that with two belts, and that's one thing. And if you go back and fight again and you lose, it's not as
the doors close.
It's not as I mean the doors won't close, but it's not as big of a deal. So
Chuck, but how would you do this if you want to get back into it? What would you look to do? Would you look for spectacle? Like
it's
he
a
did
super fight.
With Mayweather, or would you fight for UFC again?
You want to see two retired Hall of Famers come out of retirement? Like,
you got a manager here.
He's doing good over there.
He's going to answer all your questions for you.
I don't think Tito would fight me again, but yeah, he's always that's
Tito Ortiz.
That's one of the ones where I always still get fans fight. This day saying, "Why don't you fight him one more time?"
Yeah.
Why don't you fight him?
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I think he said he doesn't want to fight me, so I don't think that's an option. But
yeah, they say no until they say yes.
We can't give it away, but just trust that Chuck was saying some juicy shit, man. Like, Chuck's the nicest guy ever, and I was just completely caught off guard by the shit that he was talking about Tito Ortiz and chill. Yeah, it was just so great. I was like, man, I said to him, I said, Chuck, have you said this publicly? He goes, no. And I'm holding my little camera like,
So wait. So, well, the show again is Ultimate Expedition. It's on YouTube Red. It begins airing January 17th. One episode every week, right? They're going to roll them out once a week.
I think they initially dropped the first two episodes.
First
and then
two at
each
once.
Subsequent week is one episode.
And what? And you're carrying your own cameras?
Well, that's – yeah, this is the thing because of
yeah,
the –
yeah, how much
the,
of a crew do they have up
well, because
there?
Of the business model of YouTube Red being kind of like this sort of, you know, creator, vlog-type personalities.
Right.
What they had is – and it's either idiotic or totally genius, and we'll find out which. But they have two components of the show. One is the television crew. Every cameraman in the television crew, or at least most of them, are individuals who have climbed Mount Everest. So you've got like the camera guys carrying this huge equipment are the most elite mountain climbers, right? So they can film us, document us. That's the TV side of it. And then as part of the contract, we have to create our own videos where we video ourselves with these little cameras. And my kind of
confessionals.
About,
so you're
not
you're,
confessionals, daily vlogs.
Daily
so
vlogs.
We create,
okay.
We create our own YouTube series, which we post to our own channels. My contract mandates that I have to produce and post 22 YouTube videos over the course of the 10-week run.
Okay.
And so, I mean, in the history of entertainment, whenever has a major television or film project demanded that the cast poach footage and leak the content
right,
of
right.
the actual show? But then you see you've got all the YouTube personalities driving all the traffic to the show. You've got the show driving the traffic back to the YouTube channels. It's just this vortex of traffic being directed.
And are they paying you some decent money for this?
I mean, not the biggest money. Certainly not. I mean, shoot, I did a job.
Does it end up being SAG? Does it end up being any sort of union gig?
I don't know
gig,
about
or?
That. But we were out there for 3 weeks, and I got paid significantly more for the job I did after that in 2 days.
Right. And you didn't have to climb any mountains.
Yeah, it was hardly a landslide of cash, but...
But it's going to be a big exposure deal.
It's
and,
great.
And a lot
I
of
mean,
people are going to see it. And like I said, I thought it looked great. You know, I make television like that, and I thought it looked really... really, like a really smart, beautifully shot series. You know,
yeah, it's certainly a cool deal. I mean, it's like mountain climbing with the stars.
Do either of you guys like cars? Do you at all? Are you car collectors? Are you into cars in any way? You don't have to be, by the way. It's
never
fine.
Even learned. I grew up mostly in England, and
well,
never.
They have cars there.
Sure, but like it's kind of like New York City where it's
you just don't drive.
Yeah.
What do you drive right now? Do you have a car?
I drive a Chevy Volt.
Oh, you do? All right,
yeah.
There you go. There's that. What about you, Chuck?
Well,
driver at all?
I got a BMW 760.
Yeah, there you go. So there we go.
But I had a Ferrari F430 for a long time. And I love that car.
Ferrari, beautiful. Guy, is that what you are?
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
Actually, that's a funny story. Like, Ferrari was a gift from the UFC. It was from Dana Lorenzo. And I was talking to Lorenzo, to Dana, the night before he was going to give it to me, because I was meeting him down in LA, and he surprised me. He's like, he said he was buying a car. I went out and checked it out and said, so, hey, man, nope, that's yours. Wow. But, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's a nice gift.
He called me the night before and was talking to me, and I was like, about Lamborghinis. And I'm like, yeah, I'm more of a Ferrari guy. I'm not a big Lamborghini guy. And he's like, because they already bought me a Lamborghini. They're going to give me a Lamborghini. He's going, we need to get someone on the phone. You know, he's sitting there like,
oh man,
talking, trying not to talk to me, going, you know, get someone on the phone. We got to change the car. So they got that F430.
Wow,
that's an awesome car, man.
Yeah.
What color was it?
Silver.
Beautiful.
Silver, nice.
Yeah, it was a convertible. It was awesome. I mean, that was so fun to drive. It was a great gift for me, too. It's one of those things I probably would have never spent that much money on something.
Yeah.
For myself. But someone else spent it for it. It was nice to have. I still kept it for a long time.
And where did you drove it around here, right? Because I remember seeing you in
here.
Sometimes.
I drive it down here from SLO. The first time I got it, the funniest thing is they give it to me, right? They just gave it to me. It says, okay, do you want us to ship it to your house or do you want to drive it home? Mike looked at him like, are you kidding? Is that a serious question? Did you think that question through? No, I'll take it. Let's go.
Man, the story is that Chuck, like, just being in the mountains with Chuck Liddell and hearing you get the best stories, dude. It's awesome.
Yeah, we all want to be a tough guy like Chuck Liddell, right?
Just to hear the behind the scenes of, like, you know, where his life was at and, like, I really just fell in love with Chuck right away, and the stories of him, like, you know, working in a bar and just fighting for free and then
what does that mean? What do you mean? Right? You were a bartender or a bouncer?
I bounced and then I was bartender. Well, I was one of the guys they offered. I was bouncing, and they offered to be, you know, you can come in and be a bar back if you want to train to be
a bar back. Yep, I did that.
And
same
I'm like,
thing.
Okay, wait, so I can get $5 tip at the end of the night, or I can get like a, you know, 50, 60 bucks at the end of the night. I'll be the bar back.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to mention, I just got to run around doing stuff. It was
carry
fun. I had a great time.
Refill juices, do
and
that
then I,
deal.
I came in and learned how to bartend and just started bartending. So you make real money. So
right.
It was a great job fighting. I worked 20 hours a week.
But was your hair cut like that when you're tending bar? And people gave you shit?
No. Not most of the time. I had a pretty good reputation.
What is he saying? You were fighting there.
He was going and fighting like basically for free, right? Yeah, like kickboxing.
Challenging guys.
The UFC, right?
Yeah, I could have used
guys.
You
challenge guys at places. I mean, we get guys. My buddy wants to spar you, and you get there and you go to work with them, and you're sparring. Like, okay, man, take it easy. Trying to take my head off. Okay, take it easy. All right, let's go. Here we go. Knock him out. And then they start crying. Oh, why'd you knock him out?
Wow.
Hey, man, I said take it easy. You know?
What's the best place for guys like us to punch somebody? If we get an altercation and we must use violence, what is our first move? What's the first 1-2 combination we want to use?
You know, my favorite is the throat. I really, but
what does that mean? So a punch,
I open hand, and I usually come with an elbow. In a street fight, elbows work beautifully.
Why? Why not? Hands.
Most of them are like this.
Right.
And elbows are close range. Guys are getting in your face.
So let's break it down. Left hand goes to the throat, and then I come across with an elbow.
Yeah.
Okay. What if that hurts my elbow?
Then you probably shouldn't be fighting.
You're hitting him across the face, this person, right? Yeah. And what happens to them? Are they stunned by that? Do I let go of the neck after I hit with the elbow?
If he doesn't go down with the elbow, I would just keep going.
Okay, so if you're like a guy like me whose body type is academic and not athletic, if I have to take a punch, what's the best way for me to take a punch? Because I'm going to be the guy getting hit.
No, you've hit before.
I have a big mouth. I'm long on mouth, short on stature. Tell me where I'm going to take a punch.
Where are you going to take it?
Yeah, how's the best way for me to get beat up?
I don't know. I actually cannot help you with that one.
That's a horrible question. Yes. He delivers the punches. Well,
yes.
Yeah. He delivers the hurt.
Yeah.
I'm on my own in that regard.
You are.
Know, when we were up in the, I don't know if I don't even care. Obviously, this show was taped a little while back, and they had a satellite for like emergency communications. And our last night on the trip, I think it was the last night, was the McGregor-Mayweather fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all huddled in this little tent, you're trying to stream on some like illegal streaming
from Russia.
Yeah. And it was from Russia, and it was like the screen was freezing up, and then it would see like it would move for a couple seconds.
Yeah.
And there was, and we saw this pretty clean the first few rounds of the fight. And I'll tell you, to be sitting there with Chuck and have him giving his insight, like providing commentary on it.
Well, yeah.
Like,
well, Chuck, give me your insight on that, because it looked like
Mayweather threw the first few rounds,
right?
To make
just
it,
to extend
like,
it, right?
Well, I don't know if he did it extend it or he just did it. He'd be careful. He's being safe. I mean, that's the way he fights. Like, he fights careful. He fights safe.
He gets you tired.
He moves. He avoids punches. He avoids stuff.
He let McGregor hit him. Nobody can hit him. Like,
and it, by the way,
do you think he let McGregor hit him?
I think he let
and
McGregor
it,
hit him.
I think
him.
So, too. And it didn't look like McGregor was really landing forceful punches. Am I wrong?
Yeah,
it
like
just looked like
deal,
was,
like, don't hit hard and you're allowed to hit me for three rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
It looked like that to me.
And then he just woke up and said, let me
finish. I find it hard to believe they had a set thing, like an agreement with that. But, you know, I don't know.
But, I mean, dude, this is going to be the biggest
I call the whole thing a circus.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, it was a circus. That fight was a circus.
Well, if I threw you into a boxing ring, would you be able to do it, or is it just a completely different dance move? You know
got
what
heavy
I mean?
Hands.
Well,
Chuck's
it's
got
boxing.
Heavy hands.
I would have fought boxing. We were talking to
Chuck just likes fighting.
I would have wanted at least be able to kick. You know, kickboxing. Look, here's the difference. There's a different distance for boxing, kickboxing, and MMA. It's why it drives me crazy when these boxing commentators talk about the striking in MMA versus the striking in boxing. It's talking the apples and oranges by the time you get
right
there. You can't stand in a boxing stance in MMA. It just doesn't work right.
Right.
You can't stand in a boxing, true boxing stance in kickboxing either, because you stand in that stance, you give me about one round, you got about one round to knock me out, and you're not going to be able to stand in your front leg. You know, because you won't be able to block my leg kicks. And especially if you're a boxer, you're not used to getting leg kicked. You're not going to want to block my leg kicks anyway.
Right, right.
So you got about a round to knock me out.
So
and
you
after,
would
after that, you're not. It's going to be ugly.
You can't stand up, right?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to stand on that. You might not be able to answer the bell by round at the end of round two.
You wouldn't want to fight Mayweather. You're going to stick with Ultimate Fighting, right?
I would love to fight Mayweather.
But just not boxing.
I'll fight anybody.
I mean, Chuck's my
favorite. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to fight Mayweather. Not to mention he's what the he's yeah. Tall. I mean, he's not my weight class.
Right,
I'm
right,
way out
right.
Of his weight class.
Yeah.
But you know, I'd have to tackle him. Pretty quick, I'd tackle him, throw him against
see, that would be a more interesting fight to me, is the boxer fighting UFC stuff.
The boxer's going to get annihilated
that's
in
not,
UFC.
That's not, I keep saying that's not interesting either. It's not going to last
really?
Long. I mean, I told Mayweather a long time ago, we were going back and forth back when, you know, back in like, it was like 06 or something. And it was kind of at that time, it was like, it was the it showed that we'd come around when boxing started talking about us.
Right.
But I said, you know, hey, man, he was popping off about something about me fighting a boxer. Yeah, and I said, dude, you couldn't. I got a 135-pounder you won't get out of the first round with anytime you want. You know, because that was my roommate at the time. But,
right.
But I mean, it's different. It's apples and oranges. And they can't come over. You know, he wouldn't be able to come over. He'd be on his back, and he could take it down in about, you know, 5 seconds if they wanted. Shoot across, take him down. He's got one. If he doesn't knock him out with the first punch coming when he's on his way in, shooting in, he's not getting off his back.
Yeah.
He'll be on the ground and he can play with him.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to wrestle, if you never wrestled, you never done jiu-jitsu, I take you down, you are not getting up.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I see Tito at this Bellator event Saturday night, I'll tell him you said hello.
Warmest regards, Tito.
I see if I can Don King this thing up, Zuckerman.
Yes.
We'll do Comedians and Cars and Ultimate Fighting.
Why not?
Why not? Why and Steve-O, I'm glad to see you happy and healthy.
I appreciate it, man.
You've got a girlfriend now for a year. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You're a new man.
I worked hard, man. Like,
you're a new man. Just try and take care of that body. You know, I tell my kids, you only have one body.
Yeah, I've been pretty fortunate. Being 43 and getting away with what I've done.
Well, let's hope you make it to 53. Here's some useful car tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior. Removing excess weight from your car will improve gas mileage. And you can place your key fob to your chin. That's right, the chin on your face, to increase its range. Weird, right? Well, here's another tip you also might not know about. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right, TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid, so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy your more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. The show is Ultimate Expedition. It's on YouTube Red starting January 17th. Fellas, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us, man.
All right, we'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio. Download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.